Right. Hope everyone had a nice Christmas. This is the last Sunday of the year. I like this time of year after Christmas. It's a time for reflection and relaxation. 2026 is coming, and some of us are going to take on that new year with New Year's resolutions. Lord willing, you might have a couple new ones, new things you can resolve to do in this coming year after today. That's my hope. I have a Christmas tradition that me and my father-in-law, we watch. It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know how many times I've seen the movie, but I can almost picture it in my head as I hear it, and vice versa. I love this movie. I recommend it. It's probably in the top 10 movies Pastor John says you need to watch, so I recommend it. It's a story about life. It's about seeking God when life gets tough. And it gives us a way to think about the places where we find ourselves. I'm going to try hard not to give away the whole movie, but I want to talk about this place where George is standing. He's played by the actor James Stewart. He is in what was his father's business, the local building and loan, the mortgage company or the bank in the small town of Bedford Falls. And throughout the movie, you'll see George wanting nothing to do with this place. He doesn't want to take over his father's business. He wants to see the world. He wants to hear, what does he want to hear? Train whistles, plane motors, and one more, anchor chains. He wants to see the world. He doesn't want anything to do. He wants to get away from old Bedford Falls. But as things turn out, that's where he faithfully has to serve. He runs that bank. The town needs him. The bank needs him. His family, his brother needs him. And so he serves there. And he ends up kind of feeling stuck, almost like he's watching the world pass him by. And that brings him to a dark place. And then by God's grace and mercy, there's a change that happens. God helps George see that old place in a new light. And there's this beautiful moment where he's running down Main Street, everything's covered in snow, and he's saying, Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. And he says, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan. Everything was the same. His family was the same. His problems hadn't gone away. Nothing had changed about the building and loan. But what changed was his perspective on that place. And that was enough. Our time in the Word today invites us to have a new perspective on the place or the places where we meet with God. What thoughts did you have this morning when you brought yourself to church, getting dressed, getting ready, getting in the car, coming here? Or if you're watching on live stream, what thoughts brought you to this place where you are participating in church? Let's ponder together how the physical spaces where we bring ourselves are places where God can show up. So since we're here, we're in God's presence, let's pray that we would experience God in a real way today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we're thankful for this morning. We're thankful for Christmas. Thankful for Jesus. Thank you for the songs that we sang, Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. As we go to your word, Lord, open up our hearts. Help us to see your truth in a way that guides our steps, that we would be obedient as we walk uphill, as it seems sometimes in life, Lord, but that we'd be walking with you, that we'd be walking towards you. That your kingdom would be right here with us. Help us in this, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 122 today. That's our main text, but it'll take us a little while to get there with a couple detours. We'll start in the Law of Moses. This is Deuteronomy 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God, at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God that he has given you. So three times a year, God's people were to I mean, you could say go on vacation. God's people were to come to gather together in Jerusalem, to take a road trip, to gather together. And this was given before the time of Joshua, where we had the law but no place to go. We didn't know where that was going to be yet. But by the time of King David, they found that place. They were dwelling in the promised land, and they had built the city of Jerusalem. And God's presence dwelled there with them. When we get to Psalm 122, we're going to see the word Jerusalem three times. Or we're going to see the house of the Lord another three times. And as we set out today, we need to make a decision about how we interpret that word, Jerusalem, or the house of the Lord. This psalm of ascent, like Psalms 120 through 134, had a specific purpose. It was the songs that you would sing as you marched up to the physical city of Jerusalem. That was their purpose, this music for this road trip. And while there's spiritual meeting for Christians here, that's why we're studying it, we are not required to physically travel to Jerusalem. No plane motors needed, no costly plane tickets needed. So that's good news for me. We could also think today about modern day Jerusalem and Israel. There's other texts that talk about what we might expect to happen in the Middle East in the last days. This is not one of those texts. There's also going to be a new Jerusalem. God is going to make everything new. Jesus will return, and his kingdom will come in a new way that is not yet revealed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new city. And I long for that city, and I hope you do too. There's things that we could think about as Jerusalem that I'd want to talk about today, but we'll save them for another day. What we will do is we'll think about this house of the Lord in a spiritual way, that when we gather, when we go to a place seeking God, that God is there with us. So we're going to think about Jerusalem spiritually, and we'll take another detour to show this. This is Acts 10. We'll hear from a God-fearing, non-Jewish, non-Christian named Cornelius. Peter comes to his house and he says this, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. This story in Acts 10, going into 11, is maybe one of the best for understanding why we don't have to participate in the Old Testament feasts, and we don't have to live like the people of Israel did, keeping to the law. It's pretty exciting what's happening here. Cornelius is he's not even born again yet. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He hasn't been baptized. And yet, God is speaking to him. God is hearing his prayers. And God's very presence is there. Where? In his house. He didn't have to go anywhere. No pilgrimage that he had to take. God met him right where he was. He'll go on and be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized. And then Peter ascends to Jerusalem to talk about what God might be doing, this new way that Jesus Christ is interacting with God's people. It's marvelous. And this helps us see how God is among us. He is with us. And with that view, we consider the places where we can experience God. Where are the places where God is? This is our physical church building, and it can also be your living room or wherever and whenever you gather together in Jesus' name. This is a big idea for today. Where has God met with you? It might have been summer camp. Maybe for you it's in nature, watching a storm, seeing a sunset, and you experience God there, or in a Bible study or at your home. What wonderful old places might God be inviting you to see him differently as places to ascend spiritually and experience his love and his truth. God has always made these places, places where people can repent and redirect their lives. And he's shown up in these physical places throughout the Old and New Testament. And whether or not a physical place is devoted to God, that has to do with us. That has to do with our spiritual intent when we go to those places. So as we ponder scripture today, when you see the word Jerusalem, when you see the word house, think of where you meet with God's people. We've just celebrated Christmas. We have our Jesus, Emmanuel, our God that is with us. God's coming comes with an invitation for us to come and see, to seek the God that has been with us all along. All right, so that gets us ready for Psalm 122. Are you with me? We're not buying plane tickets to Jerusalem, unless you're buying. But we are going to meet with the Lord in a spiritual Jerusalem, in whatever physical space where we make room for the Lord. All right, Psalm 122. It's written by King David. It was to be sung when people would go to Jerusalem. This is God's word. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Verses 1 and 2, it's not even talking about the ascent. It's like we're already there. We're within the gates of Jerusalem, like we've already arrived. And this is interesting because this is written by King David. In 2 Samuel 5, you'll hear the story of how King David finds the city of Jerusalem and makes it his home. And that becomes the center of Israel. And David's house, David's home, becomes Jerusalem. So he is writing this song of ascents for his people to take a pilgrimage and a trip that he will not take. They're coming to his house. They're coming over. He's showing hospitality, but he's giving them a song for the journey. As a good king, he's able to see life from the perspective of his people. He knows how long the journey is. He knows how dangerous life can be at the outskirts of the kingdom. And so he writes a song for them about their experience stepping into this wonderful place where David lives every day. And he calls and invites them. This is the mind of a disciple of Jesus. That no matter how far you walk down the road, how many hundreds of times you've been in church, you remember what it's like to take that first step of faith. You know in your heart and you carry with you what it's like to step into church for the first time. And if this is your first or fourth time here, welcome. And I hope you feel safe here. I hope you feel welcome here. Experiencing real gladness in the house of the Lord. That's how it begins. The call of this psalm is to say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. When we invite someone to take steps of faith towards God, we invite them to gladness. We invite them to belong in our community. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 3. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. The psalm is saying a lot. Poetry is powerful. One line of poetry can say more than a whole paragraph or even a whole page. And it's combining these ideas. I hope you're growing to appreciate poetry as we look at the psalms. It's giving us something complex. Within the people of God, there are tribes. And if you know anything about people, when you get a whole bunch of people together, maybe this was you this past week, people don't always get along. But the house of the Lord has thrones of judgment, a standard of truth, of justice, and of love that was above the people. God established a kingdom with a rule of law. Through David's loving leadership, Israel was growing. Jerusalem was being built up. And this wasn't a small thing. David was at the driver's seat of the growth of God's kingdom. And yet he's not saying, "Welcome to my city. This is my place, my kingdom where things go my way, where everyone follows my orders." David feared God, and he put into practice God's commands that were given in the time of Moses. He lived according to a rule of law, and he established God's ways. The city wasn't just any city. It was the house of the Lord. It was devoted to God for prayer and worship. And it wasn't just a physical place. It was a spiritual place. Also, the throne was sat on by David, but it didn't belong to David. It belonged to the house of David, to a dynasty. And a good king is establishing something that grows, a kingdom that grows. And what was happening, I don't think David even fully understood that one day on the throne of David would come a king whose rule would never end. David was preparing the way for King Jesus. Rulers, pastors, growth group leaders, moms that teach their kids how to read the Bible, we do the same thing. We build a house, not for ourselves. We build a spiritual house for the Lord, and we make room for King Jesus to rule. Don't use your authority to exert your will over people. And some people in authority, out of fear of that, they just passively let anything happen. Anything goes here. And they do not rule. They don't practice their authority that is given to them. No, instead, show people God's ways. Bring them in line. Bring the people under your care under a rule of God's laws. Because when you do things God's way, it creates unity, it creates peace and healthy community. God's ways and judgments give us peace. They give us these healthy relationships. And then there's a need to protect God's community from the world. This is verse 6. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers." Do you see the repetition? Peace and security for the city. Peace and security for God's people that dwell there. This speaks to a real need. And again, it's coming from King David. His early life was filled with danger, filled with toil. And as a king, now he's settled into this safe place with high walls. And he writes this song offering to people at the fringes of the kingdom, people who haven't even come in yet. Come into God's safety. Come into God's protection. He's opening the gates to them. He wants them to taste and experience what he knows every day. He likely doesn't work with a lot of heathens or sinful people, but he certainly knows what that's like from his past. And he's sharing the spiritual protection that God offers. There was real turmoil in David's life, if you take time to study it, if you see it. And having received it, he doesn't take it for granted. He remembers that walk he took, and he invites people to join him. While we're looking at this psalm, which is about unity and community and God's people, let me say something important as a discipleship pastor. If you want your church to be healthy, if you want your growth group to be healthy, you will need boundaries. It is healthy to have walls and gatekeeping. It's healthy to have towers, being watchful for the things that can hurt the people that you love. Our society has learned or believed a lie, which is that real loving community treats everybody like they're an insider. No one is excluded. And communities that are healthy are always seeking to bring new people in, even on their terms. This worldly thinking has led towards small group ministry that doesn't mature. If you take issue with this, we can scour the Bible together. We can read the whole New Testament especially. It is filled with the need for discipline, warnings, and boundaries. They're throughout the Bible, and they're meant to protect God's people so that they can grow. If you want to grow plants or chickens or children or ideas, anything that grows, it needs security, it needs protection, and it needs boundaries. And Christians and Christian friendships are the same way. When something grows to maturity, it can bear fruit and spread and multiply. But that will never happen if there's foxes that get into the hen house, if scorching heat or frost gets to the plants, or if the wrong kind of people get to the kids. A teaching that urges you to lay down your walls and let anything in is either unwise or it is evil. You need boundaries. The house of the Lord is a place of protection, of shelter that brings comfort and peace. And within healthy boundaries, God's kingdom grows and it spreads, and others are invited in, saying, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. You'll be safe here. You'll find God's peace here." Whether it's your family, your Bible study, your ministry, our church building, or our church community, we need walls and we need towers. We need mature people who establish God's laws and through godly wisdom invite other people to join us. Let's read our last two verses. They were right there. "For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek Jerusalem's good." When the house of the Lord is built well, God's law ruling over it, it makes room for King Jesus to rule and reign. It has boundaries that give God's people peace. For the benefit of the people that you love, devote yourself to the house of the Lord. Just about every week, it's somebody's first time in church here. If you lead a growth group or a Bible study, you got a room full of people that they might be teaching a Bible passage for the 10th time to some, but for somebody, it's their first time learning it. So what should that do in you? What should that do in us? We should seek the good of these places for our brother's sake, for our companion's sake, a physical place that offers physical safety that can also be a spiritual place that invites people into God's security. So we have reverence for these places, for our church. Let me take a quick tangent here. Do you know the top career choice that young people are aspiring to is to be a YouTube influencer? I don't know if, this might discredit me, but have you ever taken 5 minutes to just watch what people are putting on YouTube live? It's not good. Wide is the path, children, that leads towards destruction, and then cringe is on the way. Let's unashamedly call people to experience God. They've been tossed around by this jacked up world, and what we offer is lasting peace to stop craving the things that are going to drive them away from the good life. We offer them God. Every time you step foot in this building, remember that someone has been invited to seek God here. For them, they are ascending to Jerusalem. That might change your perspective on this wonderful old church building. I always taught my kids, you can run outside, you can run in the gym, but we don't run in the sanctuary. Why not? Because this is a house we've built for God. This is the place we've devoted for people to find salvation in Jesus Christ. Everyone has a first time finding Jesus. For some people, it's outside of these walls, but for a lot, God changes souls here. So this is a house of prayer. We've devoted it to God. This is God's house. So we do things by his rules. Maybe when you come in, pick up a piece of trash, even if you didn't leave it. Smile at someone and welcome them. Wipe off the water off the sink when you leave the bathroom. Don't do it for me. Do it because this is not just physically the place where you go to worship God, but this is a house for God. We build it for him. We maintain it for him that people can come and experience God here. I drive a 14-year-old Toyota. It's nothing to brag about, but I love that car and I take care of it. Why? Because when I give somebody a ride, I want them to feel secure. And when we start talking about life, issues, and our need for the Lord, that little old Toyota, that wonderful old Toyota, becomes a dwelling place for the living God. Maybe you can think about your living room this way. It is powerful what God can do through the practice of hospitality. Not everybody grew up in a home like you grew up in. Or maybe you can build a home that's not like the one you grew up in, a place where people feel love in a real way. God can move in your house. Read Acts 10. See what he did at Cornelius' house and pray, God, I want that in my house. Jesus Christ came. He came into a manger. He went into the homes of sinners. He went into the temple. He went into a tomb. He came all the way through our existence in life because to be our God that is with us. God sent him from heaven to give us a new way to live, to experience him. And we've built a house for him so that God can experience him here. Physical representation of this spiritual truth that on the throne of David, there's an everlasting King Jesus, and you can meet him here. And he has made his dwelling place with us. So come to church. It's a place to redirect your life to follow Jesus. It's a physical building. We can love it and we can build it up because it's a place where God is building a spiritual house. And even if you've been walking with the Lord for 80 years, know, just as King David did, that someone might experience the gladness of meeting Jesus for the first time even today. If you have the habit of honoring God every Sunday, but you feel like something's missing, it might be a growth group. You might need God to come into your Monday through Saturday in a new way. You might need to change up your routine. You might need closer Christian friendships. Maybe that's what's been missing. Some of us have been discipled. We've been conditioned and taught how to live by the world, by the internet. Have you ever thought about the internet as a place? It isolates you with your thoughts. It shoves algorithms of content and advertisements in your face. It's a place without walls. It's a place without God's laws. And as such, it doesn't give you peace. It robs you of it. It takes away gladness. It's a place with fewer friends, more chaotic social interactions. And then when you find your real friends there, you don't really get all of them. You just get a shadow of who they are. And in the age of AI, more than worrying about people who are being fake, we have to worry about fake people. And the more time you spend there, you are learning to interact with people without souls. And you're unlearning how to love a human soul. For the good of your brothers and your companions, seek the good of the house of the Lord. There's gladness here. Invite people to come into her gates. Behold this place as a place where people love each other and experience God's peace. Jerusalem or church, it's not about you. The house of the Lord is a place that isn't about you, and yet it's the best thing for you. Not everybody sees church this way. Some people want things their way. They have their own preferences. Be careful that you're not making church or your ministry a place that's unfit for God. I hope you saw Encore's rendition of the best Christmas pageant ever. They just displayed this wonderfully, that the ladies of the church and the way they wanted to do things, it kept the herdmans out, and it kept the Lord out too. Behold, Jesus stands outside the door knocking. Maybe we haven't prayed for community enough, or you haven't felt your need for God's people yet. You've been so lost in this world thinking this is just the way things are. I have a lot of invitations for you today. And if you're here and this is your place where you belong, maybe you can extend a hand out and invite someone else in too. I hope we make a commitment to community because we need one another spiritually. What are the greatest commandments of the Bible? Love God and love one another. Why did Jesus command that to us? Why did God give us this law over us, this rule of law that we must love God, we must love one another? It's because he wants our good. True freedom is not found in wandering and doing whatever you want. Freedom and what is best for the human soul is found in a protected place under God's rule. He wants our peace. He wants our safety. And for us to enjoy that goodness and then to share it with the world. So please protect your heart from a calloused view of what happens in church or in a Bible study. It's not just a weekly meeting. It's not just a book. God protects us. He teaches us and blesses us to bless others here. This is a unique place where we bless generations. Lift your eyes up and see what God is doing here. I've just begun to speak about these things, but today, consider what the Lord is asking you to do next in this building or in the places where you gather with God, in your home. God is at work all around us, and I hope the Lord is revealing to you how to protect that spiritual work. We need strong boundaries so that we're not distracted or seduced by worldliness. And you might need closer friends. For some of you, like Cornelius, God might move powerfully in your home, in your growth group, in your family, when you see it's not just a house, it's a house dedicated to the Lord. Much like It's a Wonderful Life, it would be interesting and sad to imagine a world without the Bible Fellowship Church of Newark. God has done eternal things here. God has done life-changing things here through this wonderful old house of the Lord. When God is in the house, good things happen. We experience a little bit more of life as God intended, with gladness, peace, and security. So let's end practically. You can pick one of these. If you don't have a New Year's resolution yet, you can even pick two. Take a step forward in faith. I invite you to do that with us. We have 6 adult Sunday schools at 9 a.m. There's one for you. If you have a baby, bring them. January is a time to also consider growth groups. We try to give attention to them in September or January. Those are the best times to get connected. If you get our emails, there's a growth group connect form that I invite you to fill it out. Even if you filled it out a while back, I've got one in my inbox right now. Fill that out. We're gonna try to get you connected and come out to our growth group gathering. It's in 3 weeks, Saturday, January 17th at 5 p.m. Bring healthy food. And if you have a story to share about what God's been doing in your growth group, I'd love to hear it, and I'd love to give you the opportunity to share that there. There's no men's breakfast on Saturday in January because we're going to be at the Black Rock Retreat Center. This is the one time a year we do this as men. I don't want you to miss it. Maybe ages 16 and up, come, because we're going to talk about work. So the younger you are in your career or the closer you are to your retirement transition, the more impactful this might be. We're going to look at the life of Jeremiah, who God gave a pretty tough job. That's going to help us reflect spiritually on our work and our retirement. And we'll balance that with recreation and fun. You can take a masculine lone walk through the frozen wilderness if you want. You can do that there. Don't miss it. You can sign up for the growth group gathering and the men's advance on Church Center, or talk to me or the church office. Lastly, make room for the Lord elsewhere in your life, in your family, in your friendships. Find a physical place where God can dwell with you. It might be your workplace's lunchroom. Seek God there. Invite somebody to go up to seek God with you there. You may have been looking at church or growth group or Christian friendship without any spiritual hope, with no ambition, no spiritual climb whatsoever. And you might have wondered why God has felt so distant. I hope the Lord gives you a change of perspective so that you can yell out like George Bailey, Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building and loan. But you'll say that out of this place of your growth group or the places where you gather with God's people. I want you to be within the walls of a wonderful church with true friends. When God is in the house, good things happen. We experience the divine. Make it your routine to spiritually ascend to the house of the Lord. Seek him with all your heart. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you came to us in love. And you didn't just stand at the top of a mountain that we had to climb and go to it. You didn't start and finish your road in Jerusalem. Your road was much like the uphill climb that we have to walk, God, seeking to please God, seeking to serve God through difficulty. And we visit a lot of houses along the way. We go to places of worship. We make friends, Lord, and through these places, Lord, you've designated spaces, homes, areas where we can meet with you, God. Let those places be sacred in our heart. We give you thanks for this church property, for its building, the windows and the doors and the carpet and the chairs, because it's within these spaces, Lord, that you dwell here with us. We want your kingdom to come right here, Lord. Fill our lives, Lord, with your presence. Give us spiritual eyes to see what you're doing, to devote ourselves towards building up the house of the Lord, to rejoice and see what good things happen here when we do it your way. Teach us to do it your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing a familiar tune with some blessed lyrics.
Let's sing together. Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy